first or second morning of his illness, November the 26th, I believe it was, he told me to write to the Secretary of the Royal Society and ask whether there had been a magnetic storm in the night, as he had awakened and found the room full of light. A lady who had called on me in the course of the day told me that she too had awakened in the night and found the room full of rose-coloured light. But I did not write, being fully occupied. I soon noticed his mind fixed itself in a curious, restless way on questions of time. I had brought him his food or medicine at the wrong hour, or it was 3 days, not two, since so-and-so had happened, etc. The mere mention of the subject always brought on a strange look of suffering. So I warned him to try to keep his mind off the passing of time altogether. With his usual docility, he asked me what he should think about instead. I told him to repeat after me, "The same yesterday, today, and forever." And whenever the symptoms of restlessness came on, I used to hear him repeating the words, as if clinging to them for steadiness. After a time, he changed them of his own accord for the verse, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven," which has always been associated in his mind with his mathematical discoveries. One day he told me that the whole universe seemed spread before him like a great black ocean, where there was nothing to see and nothing to hear, except that at intervals a silver trumpet seemed to sound across the waters. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Said that all the sounds in the house and the movements in the room seemed to set themselves to a rhythmical chant which was singing the same words. He seemed to be thinking intently all through his illness. Every now and then he would say he was tired of thinking and ask me to tell him something pleasant to rest his mind on. One day that he said so, I told him the incumbent of the parish had been to see me and had been talking to me kindly and with real sympathy. He exclaimed very excitedly, "My dear, you're not going to let our children be brought up by people of that sort." I replied I had no wish to do so. I only thought he would like to know how very unlike the behaviour of a mere bigot the clergyman's had been. "I see," he said, "he is a good man. He and I will be great friends when I get well." I ought to have guessed what was coming then, for as Tegner says, "Around the world the reconciler goes, and our name for him is death, not philosophy." But it was impossible to believe that George was really ill.